Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
On a Tuesday night, we get rolling. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Thank you so much for spending a portion of your evening with us tonight. Have you until 8 o'clock tonight, multiple ways to get connected with the show. You can always call or text at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. It's one number. You can call or text. If you don't have that bad boy saved in your phone, well, that's a bad job by you. So go ahead and just save that thing in there. Although I do have to tell you, sometimes I think people save it by the wrong name, or maybe they recently texted in something and then they go back to the wrong conversation, because we'll get like text messages. Hey, what do you want me to pick up for dinner? Hey, I'll be home in 20 minutes, things like that. So, you know, just be careful when you're texting, but you can still go ahead and throw it into your phone. 314-436-7900. Always can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. For those of you who are watching the show on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat and we can address those as we go along through the program tonight. Here's what we've got coming up on the show. In about 10 minutes or so, we are going to talk with Haley Taylor Simon. She is the host of the Locked On Blues podcast. We'll get her thoughts on all things St. Louis Blues as they are back at it this evening. They are going to match up against the Los Angeles Kings, a Kings team that comes in not playing great hockey. They have lost four games in a row, and over the course of those four games, they've given up 15 goals. So this is going to be an opportunity for the Blues, but it's also, you don't want to take the Kings lightly. We'll talk with her about that coming up in a while. And also later on this hour, we'll hear a little bit from Coach Montgomery about how he's thinking going into this game. Also later on this hour, we'll talk with our friend Jay Binkley. He's part of the team over at 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We'll talk all things Kansas City Chiefs football with him. Chiefs look really good right now. I got some pushback on something that I said yesterday, because I think I said it during the rush hour, during Rush Hour Sports. I mentioned the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are the Super Bowl favorite and that they look like the best team in the NFL right now. And I got some pushback basically saying that, you know, I'm just, what makes me think that the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL? And that wasn't me saying it. They statistically have the best odds to win the Super Bowl right now. The Chiefs are plus 500 to win the Super Bowl, where the Lions have the second best odds at plus 650, and the Bills are at plus 700, and the Packers are at plus 750. Then you get to the Eagles and the Colts and the Rams and the Broncos. It's not me saying it. It's the odds. The Chiefs are currently the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. So we get pushback sometimes on Chiefs stuff here. People say that we're lifting them up a little bit too much. I'm just looking at the odds. So I mentioned that back to the texter yesterday. I don't know if they saw it or not, but yeah, that's kind of where that's where that's at. That's why I say what I say. So yeah, Jay Binkley is going to join us coming up later on this hour. The next hour, we're gonna do a lot of baseball. Next hour, the 7 o'clock hour is gonna kind of be our baseball hour tonight. Coming off the World Series matchup being set, I was bummed last night. I said on the show yesterday that I wanted Seattle to win. I thought Toronto was going to win, and here we are. Toronto ended up winning the game. It was one of those games, though, if you were watching it, man, Seattle had some opportunities. Kevin and I talked about this during the 5 o'clock hour. There were some choice. I don't know what it's like in every baseball market is different. I remember there was a game this year where the Cardinals played the Rays, and the Rays just played like this terrible defensive game. It was the worst defensive game that I had maybe ever seen in all my time watching Major League Baseball. It was really, really bad. And I went to social media after the game to see what are Rays fans saying about this. And there wasn't a peep. There was not a single. I did all kinds of different searches on trying to find people being critical of the Rays on how bad they were playing from a fielding standpoint. And I couldn't find a thing. And if that would have happened to the Cardinals, my post-game show would have gone 9 hours because there would have been 10 million people calling in, complaining about it, which is good. Like, I'm glad the Cardinals fans are engaged. It would be all over social media. Like, it would be different. So you never, the way that we may view things in one market might be viewed very differently in another market. So I don't know what it is like for the fans in Seattle, but I have to think that Mariners fans have so many reasons to be frustrated with some decisions that were made and some things that went down in that game last night. I know for sure that if some of those things went down in St. Louis, there definitely would have been reaction to it. As somebody who did post game in Milwaukee for 6 years, I can tell you there would have been reaction to it there as well. So there are definitely markets where there's a lot of reaction to things that happen in baseball games and decisions that are made, but it's not everywhere across the board. So, yeah, we'll do a lot more baseball in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk through the World Series. Who do you root for? Who do you not root for? What does it look like? Is it just do the Dodgers have every opportunity to win this series because they're the Dodgers? We'll talk through all of that coming up in just a few moments. A few moments in the 7 o'clock hour. Again, this hour, it is absolutely jam-packed. We're going to talk with Haley Simon in a few moments. She is the host of Locked on Blues. We'll preview tonight's game with her. We'll hear from Coach Montgomery, play back some of what he had to say earlier today. We'll do that later in the hour, and we'll talk Chiefs with Jay Binkley. That's all coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour, the first hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. The Blues, they are in action tonight back at home, just across the way over at the Enterprise Center, as they're going to match up against the Los Angeles Kings. Very happy to welcome on for the first time. She is the host of the Locked on Blues podcast. She is Haley Taylor Simon. You follow her on Twitter at Haley T. Simon. Haley, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time with us. How are you?
Always. Thank you for having me on. Doing well. Excited for tonight's contest.
Yeah, so tonight they're going to match up against the Kings, and one of the things that Coach Montgomery talked about earlier today is don't take any opponent lightly. This is it's a Kings team that's lost 4 straight games, but it still feels like the Blues are kind of coming into their own, and it's more about them putting their best effort on the ice as compared to whoever they might be matched up against.
Absolutely. And one thing about the Blues is that they do have a tendency to play down to their opponents. And we saw this a lot last season with San Jose. We even saw that this season with the Blackhawks. I mean, this is a team that will give you an A-plus performance against the Dallas Stars, which we did see a couple of days ago. And then against lesser opponents, we see a completely different team. So this game tonight, it should not be taken lightly by any means. And personally, I'm a little bit more nervous about this game than I was against Dallas.
The Blues have already kind of shuffled up their lines really the three times since the season has gotten started, and there's some guys that they're still trying to get going. I guess it's hard for me to talk about because we're still so early on in the season. It's hard to like find that real substantive thing that is actually something that's long lasting. But when you look at maybe some of the underperforming players here early on in the season, maybe it's a Dylan Holloway who was talked about a lot today. How much of that do you think is those guys just coming into their own versus, you know what, it's just early on and these things tend to fix themselves?
I think that's a great question, because with Dylan Holloway, he had such a fantastic season last season. And I think the expectations for him this season were just really high from the beginning. So with a player like him, I do feel as if he's going to come into his own. But then there's players like a Jake Neighbors who didn't have the best season last season, and he's been lights out. So I think it's so early. But when I look at players that I feel like need to improve, I know he's not in the lineup tonight, but it is a player like a Logan Mayhew. I have not been impressed by any means. And I think that is the type of player that you do need to have in games like this, right, where you're playing a lesser opponent. I know that Matthew Kessel had a fantastic performance. He had 3 shots on goal in the last contest. You know, he played 9 minutes of really solid hockey. But at the same time, you have 22-year-old Logan Mayhew, who's now going to be sitting in the rafters again for a second consecutive game.
Yeah, it's a really, and Coach Montgomery has said that when it comes to Mayhew, that, you know, once he's back in the lineup, they hope that he's back in the lineup for good. But that the one thing that they have is the ability to, you know, sit people down. It's a young guy who's got so much potential. It is, though, and just the fact that they went out and they acquired him and they traded him for a piece that was more established in the NHL, it's still really early on in the year, but it's not a great situation they have right now when it comes to Mayhew.
No, not at all. And I think that I was a big fan of Zach Bolduc, and maybe that's why I am a little bit more critical of Logan Mayhew, just because of how high I was about Bolduc, and he's been having a great showing with Montreal. However, with Logan Mayhew, I mean, he had a lot of promise when he was in the AHL. He was an all-star, and I thought he played some fantastic hockey looking at his tapes. However, I kind of brushed the fact that he didn't have the best showing in the 7 games that he did play with the Canadiens last season. And maybe I was a little bit naive thinking that, you know, hey, it happens. He's going to come in here and, you know, he's going to be fine. And he really hasn't been all that. So I'm hoping that he turns things around. But, I mean, if they don't find a place for him in the lineup, then is it the worst thing to send him down to the AHL? And in my opinion, it's not, just for the pure fact that at least he will be playing on the ice instead of just sitting.
Continuing to chat with Haley Taylor-Simon, the host of the Locked On Blues podcast. Jordan Kyrou, in that win against Dallas, he really showed the ability to be a two-way player, and that's not something that he's really been known for. Jim Montgomery talked about today, said that he's really been actually impressed with what Kyrou can do away from the puck since he got here last year. But to me, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, it felt like Kyrou kind of took another step in that Dallas game. And if he can play like that all the time, that's just, to me, that just lifts a lot of the rest of the team up. Would you kind of agree or disagree with that?
I would agree, and I think it has to go with the fact that he is playing with Braden Chet and Matthew Joseph. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people might look at this, because for whatever reason, Jordan Kyrou gets a lot of backlash for almost everything. But in reality, he's a really strong player, and the fact that he's showing his two-way abilities, especially now, goes a long way. But I don't see it as a demotion for him to be on the third line. I actually see it as a benefit for the team. I never saw Kyrou as a bottom six player, and I still don't. However, you have to look at it for how it is. You have a really solid first line, and then you have a second line that just makes sense. And I always thought Kyrou played his best alongside with Dylan Holloway, but the fact that him and Braden Chen have this like extreme chemistry, and so with Matthew Joseph too, it's elevating that third line. And now you have at least 3 really solid lines, in my opinion. The fourth line, I know that there's some injuries still. You don't have Sonny in yet. But once they, you know, get back from the injuries, that will be solidified. But right now, I think that just really elevates the first three lines at least.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Nick Bjugstad if he goes back to that third line, and then if they move Kyrou back around. That you mentioned that second line, and Jimmy Snuggerud has scored three goals over the last three games, scored the other day. It really feels like he's kind of found his way, and early on in the season he was on that top line, and they moved him down, but I don't watch Jimmy Snuggerud and say this guy's a rookie or this guy doesn't deserve, you know, belong in the NHL. It's pretty remarkable to me of what he has been able to do in a very short amount of time acclimating to this league.
Yeah, and last season when they caught up Snuggy, I thought Dvorsky, because Dvorsky was also caught up around the same time, I thought Dvorsky was going to have the better showing, but Jimmy Snuggerud, I mean, he exceeded all expectations, especially in the playoffs against the Jets. And this season, he's come out so strong and so hot off the bat. And even that nice little tap-in goal that he scored the other day, I mean, it just goes to show how well he does read the ice. And I think that he really plays well with Bushy. And that's a combination that, you know, we saw a little bit too on the first line before things got moved around. So I'm happy that they're both still together in a sense. But, I mean, when you look at Jimmy Snuggerud, I don't think anybody that knows the game of hockey is going to say, oh, yeah, he's playing like a rookie. He's playing like an established player. So it's really good to see him off to a start that I knew that he was capable of, but it's the fact that he's just been so consistent, right? We haven't seen any downside of him yet.
She is Haley Taylor Simon, again, hosting the Locked on Blues podcast. Haley, if folks want to find the podcast and listen in to you on an almost everyday basis, what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, you can go on YouTube at Locked on Blues, or you can go on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Locked on Blues.
Awesome. Locked on Blues is the podcast. Haley, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Thank you. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Very good. That's Haley Taylor Simon joining us. She is the host of the Locked on Blues podcast. Follow her on Twitter at Haley T. Simon, and appreciate her giving us some of her thoughts on the Blues as they are going to be in action tonight, set to match up against the Los Angeles Kings. Also, a lot has been made of this, and rightfully so. It is it's the return of John Kelly to the St. Louis area, because he has now take on the TV play-by-play duties with the Los Angeles Kings after the Blues moved to the radio TV simulcast. And you know what, I was bummed when it all went down because of just what John Kelly and what the Kelly family has meant to the St. Louis Blues. And just I think in a perfect world, you do have the separate broadcast from a radio standpoint and from a TV standpoint. I don't know all what went into the decision, and it's not really, I'm not overly comfortable talking about it that much, to be perfectly honest with you, because it's not my business. But I was bummed for the situation, and I was bummed for John Kelly getting moved out of that position. So I'm happy that there's been a lot of things written about him today. A nice piece in the Post-Dispatch. He was on our station earlier. In fact, we got a message on our video stream just a few moments ago saying that JK sounded good today. So good for him to be able to come back. And he's evidently going to be honored by the team tonight. And I hope that he, and I know he will, I hope that he just gets a huge round of applause, because he has been such a big part of what is meant for Blues fans to take in Blues hockey for a really, really long time. We will take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some NFL football, specifically the Kansas City Chiefs. They've got an extra day this week. They're not going to play again until Monday. Our friend Jay Binkley is going to join us coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You are locked in to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
They load the right side up again. They single the near side. Todd Rice, touchdown, Kansas City. Rashee Rice, his second touchdown. And is he back, baby? The Chiefs go on a 16-play, 94-yard drive. Three drives, three long touchdown drives.
The dulcet tones of Mitch Holsis on the Chiefs Radio Network, which KMOX is proudly a part of. You can listen to Chiefs games right here on America's Sports Voice. And to talk a little Chiefs football, we're happy to welcome back onto the program. He's part of the team at 96.5 The Fan, our sister station in Kansas City, flagship stations for the Chiefs. He is Jay Binkley. Follow him on Twitter at Three Guys in a Garage. Jay, thanks for taking the time as always. How are you?
You bet, my friend. How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Glad to be able to talk with you a little bit. It's incredible how much things can look different for a team over the course of two or three weeks. Early on, Chiefs start the season with a couple losses. They have that loss against the Jaguars, and all of a sudden, they're even after they'd gone back on track with a couple wins, they're back under 500. But back-to-back wins, a shutout win against the Raiders, a really good win against a very good Lions team. And you look at the odds, and the Chiefs are considered the Super Bowl favorite. It wasn't that long ago that a lot of people talk about this as being kind of a middle-of-the-road team, and they look like they are anything but that right now.
It's kind of like that sound that says make when they back up, right? Beep, beep, beep. All those hot takes that were out there nationally about the Chiefs, and people were. People say, oh, you're being too sensitive about the Chiefs and things like that. No, the rest of the country pretty much hates the Kansas City Chiefs, and the national media does too. And the way they were talking about this football team, the way they were talking about Mahomes, could he be seen as decline? And you're just sitting there shaking your head, like, what are you guys talking about? He's not even 30 yet. He's 30 now because he turned it in September. But Steve Young built his Hall of Fame career in his 30s. Peyton Manning was awesome in his 30s. Tom Brady won MVPs in his 30s and Super Bowls in his 40s. Aaron Rodgers won multiple MVPs in his 30s. Guys take off at that time. And when you take out Pacheco early in the season last year, when you lose Hollywood Brown at Jacksonville in the first preseason game, game four, Rashee Rice gets hurt against the Chargers. So Mahomes basically played a good chunk of the season without starting running back one, without his wide receiver one, without his wide receiver two, and running back one, excuse me, and won 15 games, won the division by four games, a division that saw three teams go to the playoffs, the only division in America in the AFC to have three playoff teams, and they did it, and they go to the Super Bowl without those complements of weapons. Well, this year, same deal. You start off without Rashee Rice, clearly the number one weapon for Patrick Mahomes. Xavier Worthy gets hurt on play number three in Brazil. And suddenly, you're trying to groom an offensive line, trying to get the running game going. So Patrick Mahomes is taken upon himself. Dude already has 250 yards rushing, which is kind of unlike him at 30 years old. He needed to just slow down a little bit more and throw. But everybody was pouring dirt on him and saying the dynasty's done. And now all of a sudden they're going out there and they're beating Detroit. And the only thing we heard last week is, oh, they had so many guys injured, five guys injured in the secondary. Well, it was the same secondary yesterday on Monday Night Football, and they looked great. That was the same secondary that the Chiefs still put 30 points on. All right? They're talking about how great that secondary was. Well, they were without both starting safeties, including Brian Branch, that was suspended in that game. Both their starting corners at the beginning of the year were out. And Terry Arnold and DJ Reed, their starting nickel cornerback was out in that game, but they looked fine, but they didn't look fine against the Chiefs. But all we heard that week was, well, Detroit was depleted. Well, they were depleted against the Buccaneers, and they rolled them last night. So I just don't get it sometimes.
Yeah, the teams that were considered better than them when the season got started are the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, they just don't have a defense all of a sudden, and they're 1-5, and it's going to take a lot of work for them to climb back up. But even for a team like the Bills, and I think the Bills are really, really good, if I had to choose an AFC championship game right now, it would probably be Kansas City and Buffalo, and I'm not 100% convinced on who would win that game. I think very highly of the Bills, but it's interesting. They've lost a couple games in a row, and they're in Buffalo. They're talking about going back to ground zero and square one and all that and trying to rebuild this thing back up, where you never heard those type of things from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs when they did not look quite what people thought they would look
like. No, it's a different team, and they have struggled at times with that defense. So let's not forget that they should have three losses. Very easily could have three losses. They beat Baltimore in game one, 41-40. And that's where people are putting a lot of respect on Baltimore's name. But no team has ever won the Super Bowl that gave up 40 points in their first game. And that was both Baltimore and Buffalo. So Buffalo could easily have three L's. Matter of fact, all the Bills' wins, the four wins they have, combined record of those opponents, 3-21. They've not exactly played tough teams in the NFL. And then when they did, they got beat. So they have some weapons. They definitely need weapons on that football team, that's for sure. But, you know, I don't think that's a lock. And you look at what Indianapolis Colts are doing and the Broncos. I know their defense looked bad this last weekend with the 33 points that they scored. They had to beat the Giants because the Giants were actually beating the Broncos and looked good until that fourth quarter. But that defense is much better than what they showed there. Denver is a good football team, in my opinion. But, yeah, who knows what's going to happen in the AFC. Jacksonville doesn't want to parlay that victory over the Chiefs to have a couple more. They've lost a couple in a row themselves. But the AFC is a mess right now. And Cincinnati's trying to stay, you know, on foot with Joe Flacco at quarterback. They're 3-4 now. Buying time until Joe Burrow comes back. That defense is still bad. That's a big problem for Cincinnati going forward. The Steelers, they're a playoff team. I don't think a deep playoff team, but they are a playoff team to some extent. But who's going to be that other team? Who's going to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason? Because right now, they're top five in offense and defense. Like, I know the offense is getting a lot of credit for what they did to the Raiders, and that game could have been 50-60. It was that bad. Mahomes was on the sideline the whole fourth quarter. Chris Jones, all those guys rested. They only had 30 offensive plays. We're talking historic numbers in the National Football League. Only three first downs in that football game. That defense was absolutely fantastic in that game. And the Raiders were coming off a win, albeit against the Titans the week before. But, yeah, I mean, the offense is clicking on all cylinders. Even before that game, they had gone three straight games where they'd scored 95 points. They haven't done that since 2021. So they're scoring on offense. Mahomes loves having these weapons back, and having Rice back really kind of completes these weapons for Patrick Mahomes, and the defense keeps doing their deal.
I was just talking about this with my producer, Kyle, a few moments ago. We were talking about the Indianapolis Colts you just mentioned. They're 6-1. They have a win against the Broncos. That's an impressive win. They just barely won that game, though, by 1 point. They're 6-1, but it's not an impressive.
You saw that game, though, right?
Yeah.
You saw that game. I mean, they got lucky on that one.
Yeah, so do you believe in the Colts? Is that a legit 6-1, or is this kind of a fake 6-1?
You know what? I do. I thought that there would be a good litmus test when they're playing the Chargers in Los Angeles. Albeit the Chargers are a mess right now. Yeah. There's no running game with Hampton on the IR. You're talking about a team without its starting tackles. And that game is all should be getting ready to go soon. He's been back to practicing. But it's a depleted team. But doing what they did to the Chargers in that fashion, you know, props to them. And the Chiefs will see the Colts in a couple of weeks. So they'll get their chance to see Indianapolis at Arrowhead Stadium at noon in a couple of weeks, unless it's flexed. But yeah, we'll find out a lot about Indy. And props to them so far. I mean, it's not been, you know, first-place schedule like the Chiefs have at this point. But, props to them for having the record in the way they're cruising along right now, because that's a confident bunch right now, led by a general manager that came from the Kansas City front office. So we'll see. We'll see how good Indianapolis is when the Chiefs play them here in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable when the schedule comes out. The Chiefs almost more so than any other team. It's not that big of a deal, but their routine every week has to be different because they're essentially playing on a different time or a different day, whether it's Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, whether it's the early slot, the late slot on Sunday. I mean, just every week, seemingly, they are playing at a different time.
You know, and last year they played on every day but Tuesday. They had a Monday game, a Wednesday, a Thursday. This year, they're on Thanksgiving. They're on Christmas. Heck, they played in Brazil, then turned around on a 12-hour flight, had to come back and play the Philadelphia Eagles in game two at Arrowhead Stadium without two of their best weapons. So they went to Brazil, and people didn't take that into account. They kept talking about the Chiefs and the offense, but they weren't taking the fact to take any quarterback and put them in a situation where they lose their running back and two of their best receivers and see what numbers they put up last year. See if they can go to the Super Bowl, because I doubt that they can. But, yeah, they've had this unusual schedule, and the league has been relying on them. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they were the first ever game on Netflix, the first ever game on Amazon Prime, first ever playoff game on Peacock, first ever game on YouTube. So the league has definitely taken advantage of the Chiefs and the attention and eyeballs they're bringing to TV. Three of the top five highest rated games this year are the Chiefs. Five of the top 11 games this year are Kansas City Chiefs. Whether people love them or hate them, which a lot of people hate them at this point. Bottom line is they're still watching.
He is Jay Binkley. He's part of the team at 96.5 The Fan, our sister station in Kansas City. Follow him on Twitter at Three Guys in a Garage. Jay, thanks for the time as always. Enjoy having an actual weekend without football leading into Monday night, and we'll talk to you again at some point down the line.
Yeah, I look forward to it, my friend.
All right, very good. Jay Binkley joining us here on the program. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to jump right back into hockey. Jim Montgomery spent some time with the media earlier today in front of tonight's game against the Kings, and we'll give you a little bit of a primer listening into what Coach Montgomery had to say today. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Into our final segment of hour number one and hour number two. We're going to do mostly baseball. We've got a conversation coming up with Jay Jaffe. We'll talk with him about the World Series. We'll give you an opportunity. I'm not sure if you want to chime in on the World Series or not, but if you want to, we'll give you that opportunity during the 7 o'clock hour. But the Blues are in action. They are going to have puck drop over at the Enterprise Center here in 15 minutes or so. They welcome in the Los Angeles Kings tonight. Head coach Jim Montgomery spent some time talking with the media earlier today. Wanted to go through what he had to say, and starting with this Kings team, this is a Kings team that has not looked very good. They've lost four straight games. In those four straight games, they've given up 15 goals. All that being said, Montgomery made it very clear that they cannot look past this game tonight.
Oh, we got to be really ready. And this is, again, every year your team's got to go through a maturation process of being prepared. It's hard to win in this league. And every night you get out there, you got to be ready to start the game on time.
Blues are trying to kind of get on a roll. They now, admittedly, they are in a spot where they have won three of their last four. They are in the middle of a four-game homestand. And part of what's going on with this team right now is them continuing to form an identity as to who they are going to be this year. And a lot of that starts with how they are led by their leadership group. Montgomery talked a little bit about what he wants to see from the leaders in the room.
Want them to start pushing our habits and our team identity and making sure that that's the main focus that they're leading with when it comes to games, that, you know, that we start on time. And like tonight's a perfect example of that. We had success last game to committed to a checking game, you know, and we need to be committed to a checking game every game and give yourself a chance in this league. Doesn't mean you're going to win games 3-1, but it means you're going to win games 4-3, 5-4. Because you're always committed to checking. You might score more offense and, you know, you might give up a little bit more at times, but it's the checking mentality you need to have in this league to have offensive and defensive success.
Let's get into some of these specifics about players. And he said offensive and defensive success right there. One person who had that last time out was Jordan Kyrou. Obviously, we know about his ability to score goals. He's never been known as a two-way player. He's never been known as somebody who can really play well away from the puck and from a defensive standpoint. But we're starting to see that more and more. And maybe that game against Dallas was the best we have ever seen from him.
I think last year I was pleasantly surprised at how much growth he's had in the play without the puck. especially in the offensive zone, getting back above pucks in the D zone. We play a little differently than we used to, and I personally think it's easier on wingers, and he's really grasped it and executed well.
Now, one player who's still trying to get things going is somebody who had a really nice season last year, and that's Dylan Holloway. And Montgomery spent a fair amount of time talking about him today and exactly what he is seeing from him.
I think he's just thinking too much. Like, when he's just playing hockey, he naturally is on top of pucks, doesn't matter what zone it is, and he's just has the puck, and it can be one against three, and he's coming out with it, or he's sneaking through but people because of his speed and skill. And right now, I think he's thinking, you know, and when you think on the ice, you look slow. Not that he looks slow because he's such a gifted skater, but he looks slower than usual.
And as he continues to come out of this, it's a spot that Montgomery feels like that Holloway has been before.
I would say when I first got here, I thought he was thinking too much. He didn't look as fast as he did after a while. And you got to realize that, you know, a guy's coming back from a significant injury. And your body, when you come back from an injury, it's not only the area you hurt, it's the areas that overcompensate for it. Like, you see a lot of guys get sports hernias after they had groin issues or hip issues. You see a lot of guys develop, you know, some arm issues after they get shoulder problems. You know, it just, your body naturally overcompensates because that area isn't as strong, so it pulls on muscles from different areas. That's what our bodies do. And, you know, he's a player that will play through any kind of pain, and we know that. I'm not saying that's what's happening to him, but it's just natural. Like, you watch guys come back from a knee injury, especially if they've had an operation, and you watch them 6 months later and you watch them a year later, completely different player. I'm not saying that's going to happen to him because he looks real fluid out there, but there is a mental component to it.
Let's talk a little bit about what the Blues have from a defensive standpoint. One player who is getting an opportunity as a defenseman is Matthew Kessel, as Logan Mailloux continues to be out of the lineup. And Montgomery talked about what he needs to continue to see from Kessel as he gets this opportunity.
Know what your role is on the decor. Know what we value. And know creating an identity for yourself of being an aggressive player. That finishes checks, that wins, is firm on pucks, that wins one-on-one battles, that gets us out of our zone, that keeps pucks in the offensive zone.
And then Cam Fowler, part of that top defensive pairing with Colton Parayko, maybe wasn't quite so far this year what we had seen from him previously, but Montgomery thinks that over the last couple games or so, we're starting to see Fowler return to form.
I thought the last two games he's looked like the defenseman he was here all last year. Just skating with the puck. When he's skating with the puck and the puck is on and off his tape as soon as someone's open, that's when you know he's really on his game. And I thought he was really hard defensively last game, too.
That is Jim Montgomery speaking to the media earlier today. As the Blues are in action tonight, they are going to match up against the Los Angeles Kings. And if they can replicate the effort that they had against Dallas, I think that goes a long way towards them coming away with a win. Not taking anything away from what they did in their previous two wins against the Canucks and against the Flames, it felt like for this team to be good, for this team to go win games against their divisional opponents and their conference opponents, for them to be able to win games against the upper echelon teams in the West, and that includes the Dallas Stars. Stars are a good team. It's going to have to be something that the Blues do from an offensive and from a defensive side of things. And that's what we saw in that game against the Stars. So what I'm hopeful for this team, you know, we were talking earlier this hour when we had Haley Taylor-Simon on, and she made the point that sometimes it feels like the Blues might have an issue with consistency or playing up or playing down to an opponent. I would, as this team continues to gain the identity that they're going to have this year, I would love for part of that identity to be a team that's just going to go out and find a way to be very consistent from one game to the next. We are going to take a break. Lots of baseball talk in the 7 o'clock hour. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We just heard Michael Calhoun doing news. Michael, when do you decide what's like the line? Because you said almost cold, and then you said just cold. What's your line for where it becomes cold?
If Dave Murray uses the term almost cold or cold, okay. That plays a big role.
All right. That's a good one. Following Dave Murray's lead's a good way to go.
He's done this for a while.
Yeah.
I would say about 40.
40. Okay.
You know, 40, 40s is cold.
Yes.
40s are cold.
I get cold really cold. Easily. I went for a walk with my wife today and I literally had layers on and she was wearing a t-shirt and I was cold and she was still warm.
Well, that's like, especially remember this growing up, wearing, you know, like a big hoodie or something, but then like shorts.
Yeah.
It's like.
I do that. That's a very Wisconsin thing. And I lived in Wisconsin for, you know, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
So I have adopted the shorts and hoodie look.
That's part of the layers, right?
That's a common. Yeah, I get cold in the upper body. I don't get as cold on the lower body.
The heat rises. I guess.
Maybe, or the opposite.
Leaves your body. You're closer
know.
To the ground, which is radiating
there
heat.
You go.
There you
all
go.
All right. So, all right. Well, it's almost cold tonight. That's good to know.
I think it'll just be cold.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Chili? We'll call it chili.
Okay. We'll remember that.
Make some chili.
That's Michael Calhoun. Always doing a great job on news. We appreciate that. Welcome back in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. All right. So here's got a few things we want to do here. Taking it 8 o'clock. So we're into our second and final hour. We're going to do pretty much all baseball this hour because no baseball being played tonight, but the World Series is set. Toronto winning yesterday, and that's going to match them up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. So here's what I want to do. We're going to kind of have a wide-ranging baseball conversation here, and I'll welcome you in. Like I try to do this every once in a while. I get reminded quite often because we probably don't take as many, especially during the during the baseball offseason, we probably don't take as many calls as we do during other times of the year. We've got a lot of other stuff going on, a lot of plans, things like that. I get reminded by people who have listened to the station for a very, very, very long time. I get reminded all the time, hey, Pauly, the name of the show is Sports Open Line. Where's the open line portion of the Sports Open Line? So here you go. This is the open line portion of Sports Open Line. If you've got any baseball stuff that you want to get to, any Cardinals stuff that you want to get into that we haven't been talking about enough here recently, I'll welcome your phone calls. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. For those of you who are watching on the video feed, you can just leave a comment in the chat, and we'll get to that. So if you've got any pressing Cardinals things that you need to get to, here's your opportunity to do so. 314-436-7900, and we can talk with you. We're kind of in this period right now where not a lot of news comes out, and Major League Baseball, like most professional sports leagues, but Major League Baseball does not want news coming out during the World Series because it takes away from the World Series. So teams that do have announcements or things like that, they'll generally wait till after the World Series. Occasionally it'll be during off days of the World Series, but we've got some time here. Not the end of the world, but as as the person who loves, not that you don't, but as a person who does love baseball, we all love baseball, but as speaking from, I wish that the stakeholders in the game of baseball would do more things that are good for the game of baseball, because I love the sport and I want more people to love the sport. And I think they have, like, the pitch clock has been very, very good for baseball. Whether you like it or don't like it, I get the people who think that it takes away from, like, the spirit of the game. Okay, I get where you're coming from. I disagree with you, but I get where you're coming from. But I think at the same time, the numbers are what the numbers are. And since the advent of the pitch clock in Major League Baseball, TV ratings have gone up, attendance has gone up, all these things have gone up. It has been a very positive on the game. And I'm sure there's some people out there that will attribute these things happening to something other than the pitch clock. I don't know what it would be. I just don't. And especially in a time where it's harder to find games on TV, and it's going to continue to get harder and harder and harder as Major League Baseball continues to do more deals with more various networks and streaming services, and as people have a harder time getting the regional sports networks. Although on the other side of that is this past year was the first year for the Cardinals, for example, and for a lot of teams in baseball, where you were able to have in-market streaming, where you didn't have to be a cable subscriber or a TV package subscriber, that you could directly buy an OTC package from FanDuel to be able to watch Cardinals games through streaming. And that was important. That was important for a lot of people who had been cord cutters, who had not wanted to spend the money that it takes to get to get a charter, to get a YouTube TV, to get a DirecTV, whatever it might be. Those people were able to go out and directly access the Cardinals games through a streaming service, and the fact that that's available. I'll tell you this: I've got my TV. My TV situation at home is I've got a lot of different streaming services, and I kind of have it patchworked all together. I didn't have FanDuel Sports Network as part of what I have at home, so I subscribe to FanDuel through Amazon. That's how. When I want to watch Blues games, that's how I watch Blues games. I watch them through the Amazon subscription. And it's nice to be able to do that. This is the first year where that is available for me, and I'm glad that I have it. It's very easy. So not everybody's going to go for that. Some people just want to have the conventional TV package, and I understand all that. So I got on a little bit of a tangent here. But anyways, this is the time of year where you're not going to see as many announcements, where I was trying to get to is, I'm frustrated by the time off leading in the World Series. There is no reason. There is no reason to go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday without baseball before the World Series begins on Friday. And I know TV controls everything, but at the same time, historically, the World Series, when it runs on weekends, gets lesser ratings than when it runs during the midweek. And I don't think attendance should not be impacted by this. If you're not drawing to a World Series game, no matter what day or time it starts, you're doing something wrong. So I like the expanded playoff. I love playoff baseball. I think there's things that you can do to tweak it. I was talking with Kevin Wheeler about this earlier. I'm still annoyed by the fact that there's not a system in place to be able to work in game 163s, because they got rid of that when they expanded the playoff. And the idea was that, well, any team that previously would have gone in via a game 163 would now just be getting in anyways, so there's no need for 163. But then that brings in tiebreakers. So there's going to be, at times, there are teams that have the exact same record as another team, and one of those teams gets in and one of the teams does not, and it's all based off the tiebreaker. I wish there were not tiebreakers. I think game 163 was one of the most awesome things that we had in baseball, and I would bring it back. And you know what? I don't even care if you had to keep the schedule the way it was. If a team has to end the season on a Sunday, play a game 163 on a Monday, and then open up the postseason on a Tuesday, so be it. That's not the end of the world. You did not win your division. You did not win 100 games. You did not do all these things. You had a record that put you in a spot where you were one of the last teams to get in the playoffs. So you being forced to deal with playing three games in three different cities in 3 days, I'm not going to feel sorry for you. But what I am going to do is I'm going to enjoy the heck out of watching a game 163. And maybe it'll be multiple game 163s. I miss that. I do miss that part of it. But you can even work that day in. So right now, the postseason, that first round begins on Tuesday. You have the Monday off, and it begins on Tuesday. If you're going to put in 4 days, or I guess 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you're going to put in a three-day break leading into the World Series, well, then you can do some other things during the playoffs, and whether that's starting the playoffs on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, and that builds in another day for a potential game 163, whether it is working another, whatever you do, there is no reason to have the momentum that goes along with the ALCS and the NLCS. And this year's NLCS, it was a dud, right? It was a dud, but we also saw in the clinching game arguably the greatest single performance from a Major League Baseball player in the history of the sport that we love. We have never seen a guy do what Shohei Ohtani did, throw 6 shutout innings, strike out 10, hit 3 home runs in a game that sends his team to the World Series. So even in a series that was a dud because it was a 4-0 series sweep, there's excitement, there's energy, there's all kinds of things coming out of that. Now, that's a 4-game series sweep. No matter what, you're going to have to miss a little bit of time coming off that because you've got it built in to be able to play 3 more games. But in the other one, you have a 7-game series between Toronto and Seattle. And you have a great moment last night. The George Springer moment, that is a great moment for baseball. And people are feeling fired up about the sport. And now what do we have to do? We have to wait. And wait. And wait for them to finally get the World Series on Friday. I think it is a disservice to the game of baseball. As somebody who wants as many people watching and listening and going to these games and loving the sport, grab the momentum that's created. More often than not, NLCSs and ALCSs are really good series. And there's a lot of talk about them and a lot of attention on them. And now we're going to go a few days. How much time do we spend talking about football, about NFL football on this show? You had a Monday night doubleheader last night, and we spent some time talking about the Chiefs today. We don't even have an NFL team in our market, but the NFL is the NFL, so we still talk a fair amount about it. Now, it is St. Louis. It is baseball. I'm a baseball guy. We're dedicating basically this hour to baseball, but it doesn't feel urgent right now when we're talking baseball. Because we're 3 days out from the start of the World Series. What can I say today that I can't say tomorrow or the next day or the next day? And I think that's a disservice. I think that's a disservice to the game of baseball. And it's something that I think should be looked at. We did get one bit of news today. Albert Pujols officially will not be the Angels manager. We knew that was going to happen because they hired somebody else. And the timing on it has a lot of people claiming conspiracy theories. We will explain all of that coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Jay Jaffe. We'll talk all things Major League Baseball and World Series with him. Got a message that came in from Eric in St. Peter's. Says, so far, I like what I've heard from Heim Bloom. Will the Cardinals trade from their depth at with catchers and outfielders this offseason? Yes. I mean, they have too many catchers. Let's start with that one. They have too many catchers. And at some point, that can't be the case anymore. Is that a this offseason thing? Maybe not. I think you have to define Yvonne Herrera here moving forward, because they spoke at the end of the season about viewing him as somebody that they still want to give him the opportunity to catch. I question that. That's one of the old, I live in the show me state, you got to show me type things. I need to see Yvonne Herrera look better as a catcher before I'm going to sit here and say that's a good idea. And I'm not convinced that's going to happen. Now, he just got the surgery. He got the loose bodies and the elbow or whatever removed. And that they want to tell us that impacted him and his ability to throw. Okay, if that's true and he can come back and he can be at least an average defensive catcher, well, then that does a lot for you, because then you can put that bat in as a catcher. And yeah, it's just, it can do a lot for your roster. You don't need, Yvonne Herrera does not have to catch for his bat to be impactful. It was the most impactful bat that the Cardinals had this season. The only issue was the number of games he played, because he dealt with a couple injuries throughout the year. But he was, if you took note, once he stopped catching, he was healthy. He did not experience injuries after he was after he stopped catching. So they have to figure out that part of it. But then once you get past that, you are you've got a bunch of guys. And we saw Jimmy Crooks get the opportunity, and he is still considered one of the top prospects in the organization from a catching standpoint. Pedro Páez is somebody that the organization thinks very highly of. So there's three catchers right there in Herrera, Páez, and Crooks. They'll still have the rights on Joel Pozo. Leonardo Bernal is not that far behind. They've got another young catcher who, honestly, when you look at everybody in the organization, Ronel Rodriguez, who is considered the number three prospect in the organization right now, according to MLB Pipeline, he's still got a little ways to go. He'll probably get to Double A this upcoming season, but they've just got a lot. They've got a lot. So you're not going to have all those guys on the roster, even though at times this past year, it felt like the Cardinals were trying to set a record for most players on the major league roster who had been full-time catchers at some point in their careers. It's not going to stay that way. So yes, at some point they're going to have to move on from some of these catchers. And I don't know if that's going to be, they don't have to do that this offseason though. There's not this super necessary thing. Probably they don't need to do it until Leonardo Bernal is knocking on the door and you have to put him on the major league roster. That's going to be the point where they probably have to move on from somebody. Now, in terms of outfielders, we'll see. I've long thought that Lars Nootbaar is somebody that would probably be traded this offseason. I read something today. Jeff Jones in the Belleville News Democrat wrote a little bit about Nootbaar's surgery that he's having. Shaving off, I forget what it was called. We joked around about it the other day, but the bony deal on the heels. And that's not something that's overly common in sports or in baseball. Jeff, to his credit, and this is why I appreciate what he wrote today, he looked back at some other pro athletes in history who have had that. I actually, if you remember when I was joking around about it the other day, I asked for anybody to text into the program if they've ever dealt with it, and I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing. It's not a very common thing, but based off what I read today from Jeff, he found a couple individuals. Cespedes had dealt with a heel thing, and he also had some other stuff going on, but he was out for a while. Mentioned in the NBA, John Wall had dealt with something. He was out for a while. So we were somewhat dismissive of this Nootbaar heel thing having any type of impact beyond this offseason. But the Cardinals have not told us, have not given us a timeline. We've not heard anything officially. I got, I, I got to check and see. I know Chaim Bloom was on with Tom on Sunday morning. I heard bits and pieces of it when he played some of it back on Gas House Gang. I didn't hear the whole conversation. I need to go back and listen to that and see if that was talked about because I don't know if much of a timeline has been given on Nootbaar. If it wasn't mentioned in the conversation this past week, I am in for Tom on Sunday, and we'll have Chaim on, and I'll make sure to ask that question if they can give us any type of timeline on Lars Nootbaar, because he is the outfielder who is, I would say, most likely to be traded here in the outfield and in the offseason. But if this is an injury that could take him into spring training into the season, well, then at that point, trade value goes down. You could certainly move on from Alec Burleson. He's going to have some trade value. Do you view him as an outfielder? Do you view him as a first baseman? So they're going to make moves. There's guys who are going to get traded. I don't know if they need to trade from an outfielder standpoint as much as they do a catching standpoint, but the catchers at some point will have to get moved. Eric, appreciate the question. We will take a break, and when we come, what I told you, by the way, the announcement and the conspiracy theory, I'll bring that back for our final segment. We didn't get to that here, but don't worry. I have not forgotten about it in case I piqued your interest. I promise you we will get to that before the show is over. Up next, though, Jay Jaffe joins us as we continue on. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Have you for another 25 minutes or so as we take you till 8 o'clock. The World Series matchup, it is set after Toronto beat Seattle yesterday in the ALCS. So it's going to be Toronto and the Dodgers. Very happy to welcome back onto the program. He is our friend Jay Jaffe, senior writer at Fangraphs. You find him on Blue Sky at Jay Jaffe. And again, he joins us right now. Jay, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
Doing all right. So last night, certainly an interesting game. I was looking at some of your social media. I think we are like-minded in that bunting and giving up outs in a game like that at the time that it was, that did not exactly set a good tone last night for Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that it was a shame because, you know, that was such a hard-fought series, very entertaining on both sides. I mean, you know, I've got friends who've been rooting for the Blue Jays for years. I got friends and family who've been rooting for the Mariners for years. I would like to have seen both of these teams get to the World Series just to get that monkey off their back, so to speak. But Seattle. I guess the big thing was not going to Munoz and instead letting Bizzardo pitch to George Springer, and obviously we saw how that paid off for Toronto. I think you just have to treat that situation with the utmost of urgency, knowing that one swing of the bat could be your season and sending your best. And, you know, you get out of that jam, you may not have another situation where, the other team can tie the game or go ahead with one swing of the bat. But you got to put that fire out now and think of this as October, not June.
As terrible of a moment that was for Seattle, that Springer moment becomes something that Blue Jays fans are going to remember forever and ever. What a cool moment for that fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think every fan base remembers those big games that get a team to the World Series. I mean, I grew up a Dodgers fan, and, you know, I still think about Rick Monday's home run in the 1981 NLCS off of Steve Rogers, or T.K. Hernandez's three home run game in 2017 in the NLCS to send the Dodgers to the World Series. You never forget those big moments. I mean, that's what builds baseball fans.
I don't try to be the person that just is critical of the game of baseball, but I hate the fact that so much momentum coming out of the ALCS, even in a 4-0 series sweep in the NLCS, there was momentum coming out of it because of that Shohei Ohtani game. And now we're stuck sitting here for the next 3 days before the World Series starts on Friday. Is there a better way to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. there was a couple of years ago, there was a provision that both LCS ended in 4 or 5 games, that they would move the start of the World Series up a few days. That stopped, though. I don't know why it stopped. I think they like the idea of having two weekends two weekends worth of games, but I don't really know. It seems a shame to have this much time off between the series. I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, just give each team 48 hours off and start it up again. I mean, that's plenty of time.
Maybe I'm just not as smart as the wonderful folks at Major League Baseball, but in my very simple mind, I would rather see more weekday games than weekend games. You're competing with football on weekends. You don't have to do that on weekdays.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the way it works is I think they don't have a game scheduled for Sunday. It's Friday and Saturday, then Sunday is the travel day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, travel day, Friday, Saturday again. So, you're competing with college football, I guess, but not the NFL so much. I don't know. There's no perfect way to do it. I agree with you, though. I'd rather see more weekday games. I'd rather see at least one day game on a weekend. I mean, I have fond memories of World Series weekday games. I'm that old. So, I would do things a little bit differently, too.
We're continuing to talk with Jay Jaffe. I mentioned the Shohei Ohtani game, and it's hard for anybody to mention a single game performance that was better than what we saw, and then just add in the fact that that is a game that clinches a World Series berth to you, and you are so good when it comes to the history of baseball. Obviously, you are the preeminent person when it comes to evaluating, Cooperstown and Hall of Fame resumes. Is there anything out there that can compare to what Shohei Ohtani did in that final game of the Brewers series?
I mean, you know, if you want to talk about leverage, you know, and I'm open to the discussion of, that this was only an LCS game. I think, you know, you don't have to look much further than Bob Gibson in 1967 for your Cardinals there. Game 7 of the World Series, he pitches, he throws a complete game. I think he allows a couple runs, so it's not a shutout, but he also hits a home run. Three hits, two runs, 10 strikeouts, and a fifth inning home run that helped his own cause. I think that's about as close as I can come. I mean, we don't have any two homer games from pitchers in the postseason to point to. I think somebody has suggested Don Larsen's perfect game, and I think, you know, fair. That's its own unique accomplishment, and I don't really know how to weigh that against the two-way prowess of Shohei Ohtani. But I think those are the two performances that I come back to as being at least, you know, maybe on the medal platform if we were handing out gold, silver, and bronze.
Could we ever get, because if Shohei Ohtani is an American, he's probably not doing this. At some point in his baseball journey, somebody's going to push him specifically towards pitching or specifically towards hitting. There are athletes out there, there are professional baseball players out there who could do a little bit of both, not to Ohtani's standard. That is something that is very unicorn-like. But should baseball be more open to the idea of more guy, a guy who can maybe work out of the bullpen every once in a while, a pitcher that can come up and pinch hit every once in a while, or is that just crazy talk from me?
No, I think it's worth exploring, and we see guys drafted with that idea in mind, but inevitably they get sidetracked in one direction or the other. I mean, Hunter Green, for example, the great fireballer of the Reds, was considered a two-way pick when he was drafted a few years ago, and a kid named Brendan McKay for the Rays, who's had some arm problems. And ultimately, I think what happens is that the focus on pitching is so heavy that their offense suffers, and it's just very tough to go through the development with both of those and not be compromised. And as soon as one of them is in a deficit, then I think teams generally say, all right, time to give that one up and focus on the other one.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs. Do you like this matchup, generally speaking, Toronto against the Dodgers?
I think it's a fun matchup. I mean, you've got the Dodgers, who are trying to become the first team to win back-to-back world championships since the 99-2000 Yankees. You've got the Blue Jays back in the World Series for the first time in, 32 years. You've got I think maybe a bit of a grudge match over the fact that Ohtani was rumored to be headed to Toronto before the Dodgers swooped in. You've got, a team that is very contact-oriented in the Blue Jays, going up against a team that I think is more grip-and-rip-it in the Dodgers, although we've seen they could manufacture runs when they need to. I think to me, on the Dodgers side, the most exciting thing right now is the depth of their starting pitching. I think that where the Blue Jays may be at a deficit is I just don't think their starting pitching is that strong right now. We saw Max Scherzer turn in a good start, but I'm not sure if I want to bet on him turning in a second start of that quality. At the age of 41, I think every time out is a dicey proposition. I haven't been convinced that Shane Bieber is anywhere close to being back to his Cy Young form. I think the big thing for the Dodgers is the quality of their bullpen is pretty lackluster, and I think the road to beating them for the Blue Jays is that bullpen. So it's a very compelling matchup to me, and the fact that you've got Ohtani on one side and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on the other side, you got two real iconic stars here at the center of this.
Yeah, a lot of baseball fans, if they don't have a dog in the fight, want to go with Toronto because the Dodgers have been presented as the current version of the evil empire. We were talking about this earlier on the station. It's easy to say that about the Dodgers, but when you really dig in and look at the individuals on the team, whether it is Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, there are a lot of really likable guys who are doing interesting things. So as a whole, maybe unlikable, but it's a fun Dodgers team.
Yeah, and these Dodgers, they've also grown a lot of their own talent too. Will Smith, for example, has been a key contributor. Let's see here, who else have we got? I'm blanking on this all of a sudden here. I had something for this. sorry about that.
No, it's
you've got Andy Páez, of course. Has been another homegrown one. Emmett Sheehan, who's been big for them, was big for them down the stretch in the rotation. Now pitching out of the bullpen, Jack Dreyer. They've had some key contributions from homegrown guys, and so it's not all just off the rack. Although they've gone to the ends of the earth to find some of these guys, like Hee Song Kim from South Korea, or obviously Ohtani and Roki Sasaki and Yoshinobu Yamamoto from Japan. It's a very interesting collection of players.
It certainly is. Jay Jaffe, we really appreciate you taking some time. Enjoy the World Series. I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon down the line, but thank you for taking some time with us today.
All right, sure thing. Thanks.
All right, that's Jay Jaffe joining us from Fangraphs, one of the great guys to be able to talk all things baseball with. It's not going to be that long until we're talking Hall of Fame with him once again, which is always one of our favorite conversations to be able to do every year. All right, so that conspiracy theory thing to go along with a big announcement in baseball, we're going to touch on that when we wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line coming up in just a few moments here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are starting to wrap up the program today. So one person to be very happy for in Toronto getting to the World Series is Don Mattingly. He has been involved in Major League Baseball since 1982, 14 as a player, 12 as a manager, 17 as a coach. He's on the staff with the Blue Jays. After 40 years of Major League Baseball, Don Mattingly headed to the World Series for the first time in his career, which is pretty remarkable. So you're always going to find good stories, especially for teams that don't get to the World Series very often, and that's certainly the case with the Toronto Blue Jays. So a little bit of news came out today. The Angels have made their managerial decision. It had come out that when Albert Pujols was reportedly the leading candidate for the job and reportedly into contract negotiations, the reporting was that they also had Torrey Hunter that was in the organization that they could speak to if the Pujols thing fell through. Well, we learned that Hunter was not going to be the guy. And then we found out today that the Angels have hired Kurt Suzuki as their new manager. He has zero professional coaching experience. And We're seeing that more and more. We are definitely seeing that more and more. Has played a lot. He's 42 years old. That doesn't make... How old's Ollie?
He's like 37 or 38.
Okay, so Ollie's still the youngest. Ollie's still the youngest manager in baseball. So Suzuki's 42, 16 years playing, five franchise. Most recently, he's been working as a special assistant with the Angels. The Angels are a mess. Like, if he can do something there, good on Kurt Suzuki. But to me, this is just the case of him being, future former Angels manager Kurt Suzuki. He's going to be out of there at some point because I don't believe that they have the commitment to doing what they need to do to win. And I'm sure, maybe I'm wrong on this. This has not been officially reported to. It's been kind of alluded to, but it has not been officially reported that, something went sideways when it came to Albert Pujols. And we'll see whether maybe Pujols just realized, hey, you know what? There's going to be better opportunities than the Angels if I really want to be successful as a manager. There's a little bit of conspiracy theory here today. I saw this. If you haven't been following along, the trial is going on right now connected to the overdose death of former Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. And today was a big day in that as Angels outfielder Mike Trout testified. And Trout was in this. He was very involved in the sense that he kind of knew about some things that were going on with former communications director Eric Kay. That's who's in the middle of this. I don't need to kind of go through all this. There are a lot of people out there because this is not obviously not a good look for the Angels when this whole thing is playing back out inside of a courtroom. There are a lot of people out there that really feel like the Angels made this announcement today as almost a way to cover up for what's going on with Mike Trout testifying. I don't know if that's the case or not. That has happened. It's kind of the idea of making big negative announcements on Fridays late in the afternoon is that it gets a little bit of attention for a moment and then it kind of gets lost in the weekend. That's one of those like PR strategies that take place. There's a lot of people out there who really think that it was a public relations strategy by the Angels today to make their managerial announcement to at least split the spotlight that was being placed upon this trial that's going on involving the death of former pitcher Tyler Skaggs. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no clue, but it's not the craziest idea. It's not the farthest thing from the truth. Big corporations, companies, they do things like that. In many ways, it's smart if you're trying to protect your professional image. There is some, it can be a smart thing to do. But that if you're on social media today, that's the, I'm not trying to be on the radio pushing conspiracy theories. I'm not saying that's exactly what did happen today, but that is, that's the thing that is being at least thrown out there as a reason that maybe the Angels did actually make this announcement today. And while I have no clue if that is true or not, I would not put it past the Angels on doing something like that. All right, that's going to do it for the program today. Thank you so much for being tuned in as always. We've got another full two-hour program coming up tomorrow night. Bernie Miklas is going to be on tomorrow. I'm not quite sure what else we're going to have, but it's going to be fun. I hope you join us for it. Back for a Sports Open Line tomorrow, 6 to 8, right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.